Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 36 of Coach Bennett's podcast, Getting Comfortable, Being Comfortable. That's right. I think most people, probably when they checked out this episode on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're getting your podcast from, probably thought, I think Coach screwed up. Because the phrase is usually getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. I mean, you've heard me say it. I say it a lot of times with tempo runs. And one of the great aspects of tempo runs is they really force you to work on getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. I've brought it up a number of times just in general with running, that there are going to be opportunities and sometimes there are going to be specific situations in any kind of run, whether it's a recovery run or a speed run or a long run, where the point is to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And a lot of times that's where the breakthroughs are. But I was recently leading a run for a group of, I would say, very fit people that did not consider themselves runners, even though many of them run pretty consistently. And for whatever reason, they got a hang up about calling themselves runners. I think if you're listening to this, many of you maybe relate to that. But anyway, the point is, I was talking about the run. It was going to be a trail run, and that immediately set some people off into, you know, thinking about the unknown. When I do run, it's usually not on a trail, or if it is a trail, it's like a perfectly manicured trail, and we're about to head off into these perfectly imperfect trails. And I just suddenly, it dawned on me that a lot of people were uncomfortable about this run. And I said, you know, a lot of people think one of the hardest parts of coaching is getting people to make that leap where they are confident enough to work on getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I thought, that's not one of the hardest parts of coaching runners. It's not one of the hardest parts about coaching people who run and don't think of themselves as runners. And it's not one of the hardest parts about coaching people who don't run but are about to start running. You know what's way harder? Getting people to be comfortable being comfortable. And that's why we're going to talk about that today, episode 36, Getting Comfortable, Being Comfortable. And I think this is going to be one of those episodes that I know they're all like this, but I think this one is going to be really, really one of those that relates beyond running. This truly is going to be about running, and this is not about running. Getting comfortable, being comfortable. Let me start with why I think, I'm going to hypothesize here, why I think people have such a problem being comfortable when they run. I think a lot of it goes back to when they were younger. For many people, I'm not going to say for everybody, but I think for many people. And I think it was how they were introduced to the sport. And I think the way that they were introduced to the sport, that first introduction, you know how you can only make a first impression once? Well, that first impression a lot of times can basically kill any potential for a future relationship. It just becomes very superficial. It's like, hello, I don't like you. We're not hanging out again. And I think that's a lot of people's first impression of running. So if you go back and you think, well, what was the first impression? Well, a lot of times it was people in PE class, phys ed class, or maybe it was doing another sport and running was a punishment, or running was a test at the first day of practice. Let's see how fit everyone is. So we're going to pick an arbitrary distance and we're going to have everyone race. So that first impression is running is really hard. Running is not about being comfortable. Running is about pushing and straining and being uncomfortable pretty much from the beginning. In fact, not even from the beginning of the run. running is uncomfortable even before the run. Because if you think about PE, if there's like, we're going to do like a presidential fitness test, or, you know, based on your grade, we're going to do a mile run, or a 400 meters, or we're going to do a 100. We're going to see who's the fastest in the class, which is, you know, another way of saying we're going to see who's not the fastest in the class and who's potentially the slowest in the class. I mean, this is how kids are thinking. So if you look at that first day of practice where, you know, it's the end of the summer, maybe you're getting ready to play soccer / football, and here you are enjoying your summer, and suddenly you realize we're about to start with a race. And how do you feel? You don't feel comfortable. Most kids would say they felt wildly uncomfortable, terrified, scared, fearful, insecure, unconfident. And now they have to go race. If you think about, you're in practice. And when did most kids get forced to run? During basketball practice, after they screwed up, committed a turnover, messed up a play, go run. Same thing in pretty much every sport. You screw up, you get punished, you gotta run. If you can wrap your head around how so many people's first impressions of running were negative and not about being comfortable, not about building confidence, not about building fitness, not about starting a run and ending it better. It's really, you're doing it as a penance. You're doing it to hopefully absolve yourself from some mistake you made, or get forgiveness for screwing up, or it's a test that a lot of people felt unprepared for. And when you're unprepared for something, that's when you really start to get nervous. That's when you start to get a little terrified. That's when you start to think, you know what, I'm going to be found out as a fraud, as not a runner. I mean, and really think about that. In these situations, whether it's the first day of practice and it's a time trial, or it's a punishment, think about what's going through someone's mind at the end of the run. A run that maybe they were not prepared for, or a run that maybe they believed they were not prepared for, or a run where, you know what, I hate to break it to everybody, but I think this audience should know, there is a right way to run, a better way to run, and a wrong way to run, or a worse way to run. And if you don't know how to run, you're going to make mistakes. It's probably not going to work out. If you're doing a 2.5K time trial, which I'll tell you what, is a pretty common distance for football players, you know, soccer players. I hear it a lot. It's also a distance that's very common for emergency and first responders. It's 2.5K. A lot of academies, 2.5K. Now, if you don't know how to run 2.5K, because there is a right way to run, I'll tell you what the wrong way is, start by sprinting. But logically, people would think, I have to hit this time. The best thing to do is to just run as hard as I can from the start. That gives me the best opportunity. Why would I not run as hard as I can? That seems illogical. And if you run, you know, 2.5K, you can't start sprinting. That's just, you can sprint for like 15 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, that's about it. That's all you got. It's probably even less. Like, if you're really thinking about it, like where you're at your absolute fastest, if you're trying to, even 100 meter runners, there is a progression to the 100 meters. But if you're out there and you're just from the get-go throwing down, it's going to be a terrible, terrible experience. Which is why probably so many athletes that don't run, or I should say athletes that run but don't consider themselves runners, equate running with feeling miserable or something they can't do. If no one taught you how to swing a baseball bat or shoot a basketball, it's not a fun sport. Neither one of those are very fun if you don't know what you're doing. They might be fun to watch, but if you get up to bat and no one's told you how to hold a baseball bat, no one's told you how to shoot a basketball, it's not fun, believe me. And people are going to stop showing up to practice if the coaches are not teaching the athletes how to shoot a basketball or swing a baseball bat. They're going to stop showing up. They're going to say, this is pointless. We're not getting any better. And I'll tell you what, if it would be interesting if you had a cross-country team and every time somebody screwed up in practice, you made them go do something they didn't know how to do as punishment. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to go over there and I want you to go over here and I want you to kick 4 field goals from 20 yards out, or I want you to throw 3 curveballs, or I want you to get the golf ball out of the sand trap, like with a perfect swing using a sand wedge. I mean, people would be like, golf sucks. Football sucks. Baseball sucks. It's terrible. But if you know what you're doing and there's a purpose to it, it's not miserable. My point is, this is my roundabout way of saying, people's first impressions of running are often awful. And as a result, they develop these storylines in their head about their relationship with running. And it's all based on the fact that their first impression was really bad. Now, let me just absolve running here a little bit. It wasn't running's fault, okay? Running didn't have a chance to introduce itself to you the right way if you're one of those people. Running wanted to get to know you. Running wanted to go and say, hey, you know what? Do you want to go get a drink, a coffee, a soda, a water? What do you like to drink when you're just relaxing? Oh, you like pink lemonade. Fantastic. Running would be like, I know a great place for pink lemonade. Let's go sit down and have a pink lemonade. Let's get to know each other. Let's just ease into it. No, nothing, nothing serious, just loose. Let's just get to know each other. And this doesn't have to be an exhaustive conversation. Really, I want to talk to you as long as you're comfortable talking with me. And then, like, let's actually just cut it off. And because running's thinking, listen, I want to get to know you enough where you feel comfortable and you feel good for having hung out with me. And really, I'd love to meet you again for maybe another pink lemonade. How does that sound? When? It's up to you. Tomorrow? 2 days from now? 3 days from now? I'm just excited that you want to have another pink lemonade with me. That's what running's thinking. And then when you meet back up, guess what? Running isn't making any assumptions at all. Running doesn't think you're best friends now or dating. Running is just like, I just want to get to know you more. Okay, what's going on? Because this is the thing. Running's a great listener. Absolutely. And running won't lie to you. But what happens is people don't get introduced to running that way. Running doesn't even get to talk. No, people abuse that privilege with running. And they say, no, running, don't talk to running. Don't get to know running. Running's mean. Running's nasty. Running doesn't want to know you. Running doesn't want to work with you. Running doesn't want to have pink lemonade with you. No. Running wants to make you feel terrible. And what you realize is that there's like this middleman, and sometimes it's a coach, sometimes it's a teammate. The point is they're the ones, it's a parent sometimes, that can screw up this relationship. They can introduce running in a way that is not true to who running really is. And as a result, you say, well, I don't want to get to know this person. It was bad enough being introduced to them. But now if you dig a little deeper and you ask someone, like, well, what did you get to know about running? Like, well, I know that it's constantly uncomfortable and makes me feel terrible about myself and it's too hard and I can't do it. And you go, whoa, pump the brakes a little bit. Pump the brakes a little bit. What did you do with running? You're like, well, I ran as hard as I could, tried to run as hard as I could for 2.5K. Or I was amongst a group of my classmates and I was forced to race and I got last place, or I wasn't able to do the entire run without walking a little bit, or I cramped up and felt terrible, or I got out really good and then I just blew up and I just kept going backwards and people just kept passing me and I got a terrible grade. I didn't make the team. I got laughed at. And you're going, oh, whoa. Okay. This is not what running wanted. Running had nothing to do with that. That was somebody else. That was a coach. That was a teacher. That was a parent. That was a classmate. A bad teammate. That was not running. Running wants to go out for pink lemonade with you. And this is the thing. Running will always be open to meeting up with you again and saying, hey, let me tell you really about who I am. Okay? And now I know this is a long story, but my point is I wanted to set you up for what's the hardest part about coaching people. And it is not getting them to run hard. It's not about getting them to push. For some people, that's not easy. but we can work on it. And believe me, it's way easier than convincing people to back off and run comfortably. It is so much easier for me to get someone to put themselves in an uncomfortable position running than it is to get them to run comfortably. Because I'll tell you what, they already know they can be uncomfortable running. They've done it. Especially people that have a bad relationship with running. They've already done it. In fact, they only know running as uncomfortable. It is so much harder to convince people, guess what? Running can be something you do, and running is something you should do, where most of the time spent running is physically comfortable. You're in control. You can talk, you can laugh, you can argue, you can sing. That is how most of your running should be. For some people, that is such a fantastic statement. And by that, I mean absolutely crazy. There's just no possible way. I've had people that run consistently, run intelligently, and have seen people faster than them, okay? And by faster, I mean a group of like professional runners have run by. And I've had established people, runners, okay, that know how to run, still battle with this concept because they see somebody faster than them and they say, I wish I could do that. And I say, you can do that right now. You do that right now. Because it's hard for them to marry those two things, that somebody faster than them is feeling the same things that they are, especially on an easy run. So they see this group of elite female runners running by. This is a true story, by the way. And the people I was with said, I wish I could do that. Now, keep in mind, we're about to do a speed workout. Most of them had done an easy recovery run in the last day or two. And I had to remind them, you do exactly what they're doing. They're running it at a faster pace, but that means nothing. The purpose of an easier recovery run is to do an easy run, a run that feels comfortable, a run that allows you to recover in a number of different ways. And the effort should be one where you can talk and laugh and argue and sing on it. You have all done that in the last 48 hours. You've gone for runs with people. And you've done that. You see them laughing or they're arguing about something and having a good time arguing. But I'm sure that's what you did on your own recovery runs in the last 48 hours. The only difference is the pace. That's it. They're running a faster pace and matching the effort that you had on your run. Now, what we could do is we could talk to those elite women and say, hey, there are some women that are even faster than you. And on their recovery runs, they run faster and they go through what you're doing, which is they laugh, they argue, they sing, they have a good time on their recovery runs. So there's almost always going to be a group of people that are doing a different pace than you in both directions. The real thing that matters is, are you doing the purpose of the run with the correct effort? Those things work together, the effort and the purpose, the effort and the purpose. So those easy recovery runs, they're supposed to be comfortable. Now, that's people who run and nail the recovery runs, but they still have this little voice in their head that says there's a difference between what you're doing and what they're doing that goes beyond the numbers. And no, beyond the numbers, no, there is no difference. So this was my 20-minute opening to getting to this point, which is why? Why is it so hard for people to be comfortable being comfortable? And why is it easier to get people to be comfortable with being uncomfortable? Well, I'm going to break down a couple of what I think are like the top reasons why this is an issue for so many people. And it could be an issue for you. And I hope this kind of unlocks this aspect for you. And by unlocking it, I mean like just admit it, deal with it, and then set it free. Because if you can be more comfortable being comfortable, you're going to have better runs. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the runs where you're supposed to be comfortable, if you can be more comfortable on the runs you're supposed to be comfortable, that will make you a better runner for the runs that are uncomfortable. Because I'll tell you what, how great you run on the uncomfortable runs is directly correlated to how great your comfortable runs are. The foundation of your running. are the comfortable runs, the easy runs, the recovery runs. So if you can nail the easy and the recovery run, you're going to have a better chance of nailing the harder runs, the tempo runs, the speed runs, the hill runs, the intervals, the long runs, okay? And if you can learn how to be comfortable while you're comfortable and comfortable when you're uncomfortable, I'll tell you what, you're going to be a way more efficient runner. You're going to be using way less energy mentally, mindfully on those runs, way less energy physically on those runs, which allows you more energy to do the run, which is going to show up either in speed or endurance, preferably both. So if you can work on getting comfortable, being comfortable, guess what? You're going to get better. That's pretty cool. So here's a couple of things that I think stop people or lessen people's ability to be comfortable being comfortable. One is this idea that it's always supposed to be hard. It's always supposed to be difficult. And this goes to, you know, some of the things that I'm sure you've heard me say that I just think are utterly moronic and are usually espoused by a bunch of charlatans. You know, the idea of like no pain, no gain, you know, go hard or go home. You're always supposed to be grinding like that. No, that's so stupid. No, you're not. You're not always supposed to be grinding. No pain, no gain. Absolute hogwash, stupidity. It's a marathon of bad ideas. And some of this goes back to coaching a couple decades ago. Not even. I mean, it still happens now. I think it happens to a lesser degree, but it still happens. But that idea of you're always supposed to be on that red line. If you're not working at 110%, you're not working hard enough. And it's like, that's just not true. Absolutely, fundamentally not true. But it's hard to let go of some of these ideas. So when people are thinking like, in order to get better, there has to be a struggle. In order to get better, it has to be hard. In order to get better, I have to be grinding. In order to get better, I have to be uncomfortable. Yes, to all of that, but not all the time. In fact, not most of the time. It's just not true. That's not how it works. Which is why when you see the best runners measured by time on a clock, most of the time when they're running, they're not doing any of those things. They're not grinding. They're not on a red line. They're not struggling. They're off getting in their runs. Those runs between the hard runs, the miles between the struggle miles, the miles and meters and minutes that make up the majority of their week. Because those comfortable runs are what allow them to recover mentally, mindfully, spiritually, emotionally, and physically from the really, 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 really hard stuff. You can't get away with not doing some of the hard stuff. And I will tell you this, sometimes, maybe not physically, but all of the other ways that I mentioned, mindfully, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, those easy runs are a struggle. But physically, they shouldn't be. But having the confidence to back off and run easy on your easy runs is difficult for many people. And to do it consistently is really hard for just about everybody. There is a tendency to doubt. There is a tendency to lack confidence, to lack security in, is this training really enough? Am I doing enough? And what we usually don't do is look at areas like, well, I'm not sleeping enough. I'm not eating as well as I need to. I'm not fueling, all of that stuff. What we first look at is I need more miles, meters, minutes. I need to run harder. I need to run faster. I need to do more of the physically exhausting stuff. And what usually walks, or I should say runs, hand in hand with that lack of confidence towards your training, like I'm not doing enough, or it sometimes oddly enough creeps in when you're making big jumps and you start thinking this is getting too easy. Like I need to be doing more and I need to be doing it faster because I'm starting to be more comfortable, is a lack of patience. A lot of times we think we can speed up the gaining of fitness. It's similar to like when people get hurt, they think they can speed up healing and getting over sickness and injury. And it's you can't. I mean, fitness is going to come with the amount of time that you can put into it. Fitness is going to come based on how much work you can put in, and fitness is going to come with, most importantly, that work that you do is dependent on your recovery. So if you're doing too much work, you're not going to be able to recover, period, which means you can't do more work. And fitness is going to be dictating your results. It's going to be dictating how fast you're able to run. It's going to be dictating the type of endurance you have in terms of how far you can go, how long you can carry certain paces, all of those things. So what happens is when people try to speed things up because of impatience, well, how do they solve for that? Well, they try to run harder and further than they should. And as a result, guess what? They run in a more uncomfortable way because they're running too fast, too far, for too long. That becomes really uncomfortable. So when you think, how do I get better at running? It's more uncomfortable, not more comfortable, which is not the truth. Because this is what happens. Here's a little sneaky thing, which is awesome, but it's actually even not sneaky, and it's definitely not a secret, but sometimes it feels like it is. As you increase your fitness, a couple things can occur. One, you can take on more minutes, meters, and miles, okay? And what that means is you're going to be spending even more time running easy. Those minutes, meters, and miles actually, oddly enough, should get a little bit easier the fitter you get. So you're not increasing the amount of hard stuff you're doing. You're actually increasing the amount of easy stuff you're doing. Sure, the volume of some of the harder days are going to increase, but guess what? As you get better, you learn how to be more comfortable more often. Like, you know how you say get comfortable being uncomfortable? Well, one of the keys to that is learning how to be comfortable while you're doing uncomfortable things. But it comes back to being comfortable. I'm going to give you an example. When you're doing a classic workout, I was a miler in college and post-collegiately, so a 1,500 meter runner. One of the classic workouts is 8 by 400, okay? So it's 8 intervals at 400 meters. And there's a lot of different ways you can play with actually that workout, especially with the recovery. So a lot of times it would be 8 by 400 at your mile or 1,500 date pace or goal pace. The difference is date pace is like, what could you do today? So if you could run a 4-minute mile today, fine. You're going to try to do 8 by 400 in 60 seconds. Now the recovery could be anywhere from 2 minutes to 90 seconds to a minute, depending on how hard you want the workout to be. So let's just use that as an example. If you're fit, and you're seasoned, and you've been running for a while, and you know what the purpose of this run is, you're trying to run as comfortable as possible for as long as you can in this workout. The goal is not to work as hard as you possibly can in this workout. The goal is to hit 8 by 400 in 60 seconds. Now, if you can do that as comfortably as possible, fantastic, terrific. That means you nailed the workout and or you're even fitter than you thought. Okay, that's great. Some people think the goal is 8 by 400 at 60 seconds. I should be struggling in this. It's a speed workout. Speed workouts are supposed to be hard. Not all speed workouts are supposed to devastate you. So what you're doing is you're going in there and you're pulling out all these tricks. You're like, mentally, the first couple intervals, I'm not committing to. I'm just getting in there. I'm going to look at my splits. I should be able to run a 60-second quarter relaxed and in control. Because if I can do 4 of these in a row, then I should be able to do one of them with a break pretty relaxed. And you should get through 4, 5, maybe 6. You're starting to get a little fatigued. So you're starting to really focus to hit that first 200. So you don't have to really move the last 200. You're trying to be consistent in your splits. You're making sure your form isn't breaking down. You're making sure your breathing is really relaxed and in control and efficient on the workout. I mean, on the interval. And the recovery in between. You're not screwing around. You're not high-fiving and grab-assing with your buddies. What you're doing is really focusing on breathing, relaxing, and just staying calm. Because what you want to do is recover as much as you possibly can in anticipation of that next interval. You want to be as relaxed and as recovered as possible for the next time you got to go on the line and run another 60-second quarter. Now, here's the thing. Don't get hung up on 60 seconds for 400 meters. You can turn it into 90 or 2 minutes. You can turn it into 3 minutes. It doesn't matter. It's the concept. that what you're trying to do with a very difficult workout is run comfortably. That's what you're trying to do. And the fitter you get, the better you get at staying comfortable. So when we focus too much on that phrase, which is a great phrase, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, I think we forget how many people struggle with being comfortable because of either how they were introduced to running or some of the mantras they hear, like I said, coming from, you know, coaches or influencers or just old school posters that used to be up on the gym in school. I think it's a lack of confidence. I think it's a lack of patience. And I think sometimes you get into a comparison trap. You start to change your running, the goal of your run, the purpose of your run, based on people around you or people that you think are paying attention to you. So you push harder rather than owning your fitness. You run a pace you shouldn't run because you're trying to run with other people. And what's happening there is you're sabotaging your run. If you're running a faster pace than you should so you can run with other people, you're basically helping them and hindering yourself. That's what you're doing. Because you're now taking what's supposed to be an easy run and now you're turning it into a tempo run. Were you supposed to do a tempo run today? If those people weren't here, would you have done a workout instead of an easy run, even though you're supposed to do an easy run? So you have to remember that you have to own your fitness. That's one of the first and best gifts you can give yourself as a runner. Own your fitness. Unapologetically own your fitness. Today's fitness, because it's today's fitness that today's runner is going to be basing their run off of. Yes, today's run is in service of getting to a future state. That's what you're doing. You're trying to get better, and you will get better if you have the confidence to own your fitness. If you can have the patience to have today's fitness, if you have the humility to understand that today's athlete is the one that can do today's work, not tomorrow's work, not maybe 2 months ago's work, because maybe you're coming back from injury or sickness or time off. You have to be humble enough to realize I can only work with who I am today. I can be informed by yesterday's athlete, and I can be inspired by tomorrow's athlete, but the investment can only be done by today's athlete. You have to be comfortable with who you are today. That's not easy. That's hard. But running isn't about just everything being easy. It's about really teaching yourself that you can do hard things. And to me, that's really powerful. And I wish we would spend more time, and that's part of what today's episode really was all about, learning how to get comfortable being comfortable. Not just in doing a comfortable run, but also getting comfortable being comfortable with who we are today. Getting comfortable being comfortable with the fitness that we have today. Getting comfortable being comfortable with the time it's going to take to get to where we want to be. Getting comfortable being comfortable with not always being uncomfortable and not thinking that makes us lesser of an athlete, lesser of a runner, because we're not struggling all the time. We're not grinding all the time. We're not, you know, subscribing to, you know, sleep is for the weak. No, actually, if you don't sleep, you're weak. That's actually how it works, by the way. No pain, no gain. Not true. You make most of your gains when you're not grinding. It's called eating, drinking, sleeping. It's called easy runs. It's called laughing. It's called learning. None of those should involve pain. In fact, when you're really working hard, it's not pain. It might be uncomfortable, but I'm going to save the term pain for injury and sickness. I'm not going to use it for a tempo run. No, you can struggle on a tempo run. It's not pain. I mean, the definition of pain actually, you know, equates it to these sensations that are coming from like a bodily disorder, like an injury or a disease or something like that. I don't equate injury or disease with what I'm going through on the last interval of 8x400 or the last 2 miles of a long run, okay? I'm sorry. I'm going to save pain for where it means something. I think it can be hard, difficult, a struggle, a grind, yes, to deal with the last interval, the last couple Ks of a long run. Absolutely. Getting out of bed in the morning, oh, you know, for another recovery run, seriously, the middle of marathon training, or showing up another day where you're wondering, when am I going to start seeing some changes? Yeah, none of that's easy. It's not. It's not easy. It's not pain. Okay? So I'm just sliding that in there as kind of a words guy, you know? And for people that like want pain to be a part of the process, you know, they're using a different dictionary to me. You know what? I got a new word. They're using a fictionary. Fictionary? Get it? That's actually really good. I just came up with that. That's fantastic. If you use it, you've got to quote me. So if you hear somebody using a word the wrong way, you say, where'd you read that? The fictionary? Ba-dum-bum-tsh. You don't have to do the fake drums if you don't want to. Anyway, the point is today, let's all work on being comfortable. Let's all work on celebrating the comfortable runs. Let's all embrace the easy, easy runs. You know what I mean? Let's do that. It's very easy, and I'm okay with celebrating when we're getting comfortable being uncomfortable and taking on the hard things and the difficult things. But you know what? Sometimes the greatest struggle is not struggling. Sometimes the hardest thing is to just run easy. And if you can do that, it doesn't mean you're going to make everything easy, but at least you're not making the hard things harder, okay? So let's all make a little bit of a vow to each other, because I think if we can do this together, it's going to be easier. Let's all celebrate being comfortable, okay? And you can do that on your next run, your next easier recovery run. We'll start there. We can work up to the other runs, but let's start with our next easy run. Run comfortably. Own it. Celebrate it. Make it feel great. Be proud of it. Be confident as a result of it. And share that. If people can own their fitness, know the purpose of their run, and be confident in who they are as a runner, then they can be comfortable being comfortable. I don't think it should be a lot of work to be comfortable. But if it takes work to be comfortable, it's worth it. So I think right now would be an absolutely perfect time to bring in mindset coach extraordinaire for, that's right, a mindset minute. It's been a couple episodes since we've had one, and you keep asking me for one. So guess what? You get it. That's right. You ask, I'll deliver. Let's have Tammy Bennett of the Show Up Society give us a mindset minute.
Okay, guess what, friends? As a coach, I spend way more time telling my clients and my athletes to let it be easier and more fun. I spend way more time telling them that than telling them to go harder. This is not the 80s anymore. We're not trying out to be a part in the movie Rocky or Over the Top or anything else with Sylvester Stallone in it. There is such thing as gain without pain. You're going to have to get uncomfortable sometimes, but the harder part is to let it be easy and fun sometimes. And I'm telling you this, the more my athletes and clients have fun and enjoy the process, the better their results are. So I dare you to try me on this one. Go out, have fun, let it be a little bit more easeful, and let me know what happens. You are going to have much more sustainable results if you keep showing up. And guess what? You're going to keep showing up if you're letting it be comfortable sometimes and not always fighting your damn self.
Coach Tammy knows what she's talking about. And she gets some bonus points for mentioning not one, but two Sylvester Stallone movies. You gotta love that. Sly, wherever you are, cheers to you, baby. That's episode 36. And I gotta tell you, I think this was a really important one, which is why I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Thank you for sharing the podcast. I think this is an important one to share with your friends, family, teammates. I think it is important. I think in this day and age, we have such a inundation of people telling us we're always supposed to be working hard. We're always supposed to be grinding. We're always supposed to be uncomfortable. And that's not true. If you want to achieve great things, you can't always be tired. if you want to achieve great things, you can't always be grinding. You just can't. You're doing something wrong. You might be able to achieve something, but it will never be as good or as great as what it could be. So take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And work on getting comfortable being comfortable. Till next time, Coach Bennett, see you on the next starting line. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, well, I really wish you would because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter, as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter, whatever that dumpster fire is called today. You'll find a link to it because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself.